I thank you for Matt. I thank you for the person that he has become, that he is becoming, for the leader that you're making him be. I thank you for his obedience to you and, his, and your anointing on his life. I thank you for his heritage, and I thank you for the choices that he's made.
Thank you, God.
And I thank you that he's going to speak to us now. We're going to hear what you're saying, and we're going to open ourselves to receive everything from you this morning. We thank you that Matt has listened to you, and we pray that what you've said to him will be what we hear.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, indeed. Thank you very much. I have a great mum, everybody. Why don't we thank her this morning for hosting us so well? Let me tell you my little story observation from this morning as well. We love being part of family. And I noticed this morning, and some of you might have noticed a very quick reaction from a parent. It was the moment when we were taking the offering up, and one of the children over here was separated from her mum, but realized that actually the offering is important. As a family, we give into the offering. So she had no parental guidance this morning. So she went into her mum's handbag. She found her mum's purse, and after that, the story stopped because the parents then re-intervened and slowed things down. I was hoping that the end of the story was where she emptied the whole of the purse into the offering bowl and threw in a couple of credit cards as well for good measure. But
she.
Okay, so there you go. That was the parents. I was keeping it anonymous, but now. Less so, but yes, she had got permission to pour all of her mum's money into the offering, which is great. I think we should do more of that. So, I want to share a few things this morning. Those of you who were keeping an eye on your notice sheet and you knew what you were expecting, well, this morning was planned in our calendar as a baptism Sunday. Those of you who go home and say, I know I don't always pick up everything, but I don't notice anyone being baptized, then you're absolutely right, because we haven't done that this morning. Our next baptism Sunday will therefore be in October. We're really looking forward to that. There was a number of people, as there always are, who were talking about wanting to be baptized this time, but in the end, it didn't all come together, so we're looking forward to baptizing probably a larger bunch of people in October, but we'll see how that goes. But I just thought if you'd arrived and you thought you were expecting something else and it was missing, I'd just explain that. I don't know about you, but this morning as Molly started our meeting this morning, she lifted our eyes to something bigger than just ourselves. And she, did you like the little Vic story? Because for me, things like that are just really helpful, because we can see what God is doing and illustrate something. And actually, it fits very well with what I want to talk about this morning. What I'd like to do is I'd like to refer back to some of the things that took place last weekend. But don't worry if you weren't here, because it will still be hopefully relevant to you as well. But last weekend, as Molly's already referred to, we had a weekend where we looked at developing the prophetic and what it means to what prophecy is all about in the church and what the prophetic is all about. And Steve Hepden, our friend, he came and he taught us things, but he also he demonstrated practically some stuff of what it looks like to prophesy and to be prophetic, which was great. And the truth is, there are some things that are taught and there are some things that are caught. And my prayer was that last weekend, that as well as hearing some teaching, we would also catch something. And those of you who were here, that's what I hope happened last weekend. And if you weren't here and you want to catch up on some of it, you can hear the teaching side of things, and hopefully you catch some of it as well. Head to the podcast on our website and you can listen to some of those things again. And I know a lot of people have already done that. How many people know that sometimes you hear something once and it so much goes in, you hear it twice and a bit more, and you hear it a third time, and it makes a lot of sense to us. And so this morning, if you're like me, you've probably had a busy week, and maybe you didn't have the opportunity to pause and to contemplate some of the things that happened last weekend, some of the things that God was saying. And I wanted us to just to pause this morning, contemplate for a moment some of the things that God has said. And I just want to make sure that we are together, not missing anything. So if you weren't here, then I'm going to bring you up to speed as well. And if you were here, then hopefully we'll jump in together. And I want us to read something that Steve talked about a number of times when he was teaching. I want us to read it, and you can find it in your Bible if you have it. I want us to just read for a moment out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Steve mentioned this. It's an important chapter in the Bible when we're thinking about prophecy. And so I wanted to just read some of that together. If you haven't got your Bible with you this morning, you haven't got one, then the words will come up on the screen so you can follow along as well. And we're going to look in this chapter and then another chapter after it in a moment as well. And have to remember that although we're talking about chapters so that we can find the right place in our Bible, of course, Paul was writing a letter. That's really what we're reading. We're reading part of a letter that Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And he was wanting to help the church there to understand some things. He was bringing some teaching. Some ways he was helping them with things that they hadn't understood and things that they needed to change. And he was bringing some spiritual principles that help them to know how to be the church together. So let's have a look at this together now. So starting from verse number 1, and then I'll explain why we're looking at it this morning. It says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols." Then he says, "So," this is the first thing, "I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord and really mean it in a transformed life kind of way, except by the Holy Spirit." And then verse 4, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, so," and here's the purpose, "we can help each other." Amen. Let me just pause there for a minute. I've read this chapter lots of times and heard it talked about lots of times, and maybe I'd not read it in this translation, but I'd not seen it quite so clearly that what Paul's saying here is a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And when I read it, and when I read it again this week, as I was thinking about some of this stuff, I don't know about you, but most people, and I know a lot of you in this room already, most of you here want to help people. You know, I know that there's lots of people around who would say to me often, "Matt, how can I help? Is there anything I can do to help?" Actually, we're full in this room of people who would like to help. Is that true? Yes, it really is. And so that's the motivation, that's the purpose of what this chapter is all about. And sometimes, some of you who've been around a while, read this chapter and we look at it in terms of understanding and digging deeper and looking at gifts, and we're going to read those in a moment. But actually, it just hit me afresh this week that actually the purpose of all this stuff, all this clever stuff, all these special abilities, all these gifts, is very simple. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help one another. And so if we just read on from there, verse 8. In fact, I like to see things and make things illustratable. And we're going to read about some of these gifts in a minute. Carl, could you just help me a minute? Do you mind being God? So this is just a little illustration, Carl. It's going to be God for us. You got the part. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just give these out as we're talking. So we'll just one, and then you can just find someone and give that to. So these are gifts. So Carl is God. I think that's clear. hang on, Carl. We'll just do this as we go through. So, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. So, that's wise advice. Okay. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. This is more for illustrative purposes. It doesn't necessarily mean that the gift is necessarily, but it could be. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. Tom gets some great faith today. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Hey. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. I was going to say everyone was wishing that they sat over this side of the room, Carl. But look, as we know, God has the ability to get everywhere. And I've lost track. What was the last thing I said? That would be a miracle. And another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. Thank you. That worked out well. And while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. And I think that might be the last one. Very good. Do you want that one?
No.
Thank you, Carl. No, we haven't got a risk assessment for that. So, it's the one Spirit, one and only Spirit, who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So that's pretty clear as well, isn't it? So they're gifts from God. God chooses who to give what to. This morning it was Carl, but it's God who makes the choices as to who God gives stuff to, which kind of takes away the onus or the responsibility from us, doesn't it? It's God who's doing the giving. And the good thing is, those of you who receive one of these, there's actually, it's a pack of two biscuits. And of course, the whole point and the purpose of gifts is that we just agree together that they're for helping one another. So you've got two biscuits, so it's not like it's going to transform someone's life, but because you've got two biscuits, you can give one of those to someone else, of course, which might help them if they were just thinking, I could do with a biscuit. But you get the point that actually, and it's a silly illustration if you like, but actually this is really what we're talking about. Sometimes when we read these things in the Bible, we don't quite see pictorially exactly what it is. But actually God is giving gifts so that we can help one another. And then we just continue in verse 29. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Then Paul answers all his own questions. Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And then we're not going to read the next part, but the next part Paul talks about what we are. And it's another great passage that talks about the illustration of the church being a body with different spiritual gifts, and that's why it all connects and ties together, but with one purpose of helping one another. And then in the next chapter, in chapter 13, it's a very famous passage in the Bible. It talks about love, and it's very interesting that this passage is actually in between talking about spiritual gifts, and then chapter 14 talks about spiritual gifts as well. And what's really clear that in this context, it's all about relationships. So he talks about the body, talks about spiritual gifts and how helpful they are, but then talks about love. And those of you who've read it, and please go away and read chapter 13. If you've not read it before, it's amazing. If you have read it before, read it again. But it talks about a love that's not the kind of Hollywood gooey romantic love, although that's an element of it, but it's a robust, self-sacrificing, enduring, faithful, wonderful love. And then after chapter 13, chapter 14 goes back, and Paul's going back to talk about spiritual gifts again. So I'm just going to pick up because this is important for us. In verse 1, it says, let love be your highest goal. So he's referring back to chapter 13. He's talked about love, and he says, let love be your highest goal. But then there's a but, and it's a big but. It says, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability, and he unpacks this a bit, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. And this is what we're really talking about here in terms of prophecy, and Steve talked about it, I know, last weekend quite a bit. But do you see the big picture here? This is Paul's talking in one place about the body. He's talking about the church. And then he says it's a body that's ready to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Steve said, did he say, build up, stir up, cheer up? And I love that. And if you think back, those of you who were around last weekend, that's what we saw happening as Steve taught about it, but then he also demonstrated it. Those of you who are here, he talked to specific individuals, and he explained things that only God would know, which, of course, is one of the special abilities that we're talking about. And if you were here, there was a couple of wonderful moments where Steve spoke to certain individuals, and it was very clear by their response that only God could have known that. We had Hannah, the incident about the Columbia. You know, Steve said, I think something about Columbia when he was talking to Hannah over here, and Hannah went, oh, well, my boyfriend's from Columbia. And you kind of go, all right, that's very interesting. And there was a lady called Sue who was here, was one of our guests that weekend, and Steve said something very simple and straightforward to her, and straight away she broke down in tears, because she knew, and it was very clear that it was only God speaking to her. It was only God would know those things. And so Steve was demonstrating this thing that he's talking about, which I don't know about you, but that's one of the best ways that we can learn some of this stuff. And what was happening? Well, for the individual, they were strengthened, they were encouraged, and maybe they were cheered up as well. But actually, for the bigger picture, for the church, what's happening? Well, it's not just individuals that God is speaking to, but actually, God is kind of grab all of our attention and saying, don't forget, I'm not just on your case as an individual, I'm on your case as the body of Christ, God's people. And in verse 4, Paul says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. And of course, you have to be careful when you read this stuff, because Paul's not saying one thing's bad and therefore one thing's good. He says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. He's saying this is a really good and healthy and important thing to do. And those of us who speak in this heavenly language, this language that the Bible calls speaking in tongues, would know how helpful, how edifying, how important it is. Let me just tell you that personally, I speak in tongues so much more than I used to. I just find it's a really, I find it's actually often better than listening to the radio. The radio sometimes doesn't help me a great deal. It's mainly the news, listening to the news is mainly the bad news. And I arrive in my office with my head full of bad news stuff. Well, sometimes just speaking in tongues just edifies and encourages and connects us to God. So if that's not something you do and you'd like to, then we'll pray for you. This is a gift that God gives that is so helpful. But then Paul says, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy, for prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you're saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. And kind of that's what I really want us to get hold of today, that actually the reason we talk about all this stuff is because it's God's church. And God wants to strengthen and equip his church. So does that mean that this prophecy and prophetic words that should only take place in Sunday meetings. Well, no, churches, we know that church is not about a meeting or about a building, it's about people. So church, actually, you know, we are the church as we do stuff together. So life groups is a fantastic place for us to have to put into practice spiritual gifts. It's a great place where together we can hear what God is saying to us and speak those words of encouragement to stir up, cheer up, and build up to one another. And there are other places as well, of course, when we're together. And I wasn't here on Friday evening, but there was a women's prayer celebration. You'll understand, therefore, why I wasn't here. But apart from the fact that I'm not a woman, I would love to have been there, because I've heard so many great reports of God speaking to individuals and to that group of people. And a lot of what took place was stirring up, cheering up, building up. And when we have Touching Heaven nights, the first Wednesday of every month, part of what we want to do together is touch heaven, to invite God's kingdom to come. But also, how does he do that? He speaks to us so that we are encouraged, stirred up, built up, cheered up. And other places too. So I guess what I want to do is just to underline some of the things that we'd already talked about. But I want to encourage us this morning. One of the things that Paul says is, let's eagerly desire all the gifts, but particularly prophecy. And there's something in the sense of what Paul is saying there about eagerly desiring something, isn't there? There's kind of a passion. It's the kind of thing where you see, perhaps the best illustration is kids, when it's their birthday, they are eagerly desiring their gifts. Those of you who are parents will have seen eagerly desiring faces on Christmas morning or on birthdays. And I guess that's one of the best ways that we can look at this in terms of eagerly desiring stuff. As we get older, if you're like me, birthdays perhaps seem to be a little less significant. If you're like me, I don't wake up on my birthday now eagerly desiring whatever gifts are going to be given to me. And spiritually, we have to be very careful, don't we? Because as we grow older, sometimes we can become complacent, and sometimes we can become even less passionate about the things that God puts in front of us. But I want to encourage you. I want to say, Ashwood, this morning, let's eagerly desire, well, everything that God's got for us. Let's eagerly desire all that God's got for us, but particularly this whole thing of hearing from God and prophesying and encouraging one another. I guess we'd expect it, but when we have a mini conference where we talk about developing the prophetic, it's almost like God puts his finger in the water and he stirs things up a little bit, and there's ripples. And this week I've heard of stories of people in this room who God has spoken to, or there's been changes, there's been transformation since last weekend. Maybe related to last weekend, maybe something totally different. But we expect that as God speaks to us, and it's like he does put his finger in the water and stirs up, there's ripples, there's things that take place, there's lives that are changed and people's lives that are transformed. Did you have a story, John, that you wanted to share about some encouragement that would stir up, build up? Just had this thought. Seems like he has. That's great.
Make it fit, right?
No, okay. No, it's fine. Just tell it how it
I know,
is.
Yeah. Right, it is personal, so I'm not going to share it all. But one thing that really spoke to me last week was when Steve was sharing about the moment he found out that his wife had got MS, and it was that frozen moment, and he buried it, and it was frozen.
That's
and
right.
It wasn't
yeah.
until he embraced it, to melt it, to take it back on, to hand it back to God, and that really. Struck a chord in me, and since last week a few more ice cubes have popped up that I need to work through, and I know that God loves me and God's love will melt that.
Brilliant.
And make it for his good. All right. I think I might have a word as well.
Go for it, yeah. You can do that, fit it in. Yeah, you've got the microphone now.
yes. I could go into song, say Frozen, let it go, but I can't sing, so.
Try it.
Something, no, it'll start raining. something that really strongly this week is new birth. It might be for everyone, it might be individuals, I don't know. It's new birth, new season, new spring. As you walk around, you see the snowdrops. It's a sign of new birth coming, a new season starting in someone's life. As the crocus start coming through, you see more and more. As the daffodils start coming through, you're seeing the glory of creation. As the leaves coming into bud, it might be a new season for you. And as it slowly unfolds, God will reveal something special, something individual that is birthing into you. And guys, some of us will experience birthing pains. Right. Not in the physical, but in the spiritual. And God will reveal his glory in this next season. And you know when that season comes to an end, we've got to also let it go, because God has got another season for us. And as the seeds come to fruition and they burst, those seeds will get spread out by the wind, by the Spirit of God, and be set again for a new season. Whether that's someone it's a new season for someone else's life that you've touched, but it's a new season. Take hold.
Brilliant. That was a pretty good one there. Excellent. Thank you, John. That's really helpful. Sure, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, brilliant.
Thursday morning, I was out in the woods walking a dog. And as I walked up the first path, I heard the birds singing. And to me, it sounded like the Hallelujah chorus. They were really loud and just so blessed me that I just felt like they were singing their praises to God. And I looked up into the trees to see who was singing to me. But I actually looked up and I don't know whether I saw it or heard, but I felt like all at the same time, God saying to me, spring's coming. And afterwards I thought, what a stupid thing to say when it's the middle of March and all that stuff. But that moment, it was grey, damp, chilly, and there was no sign of spring at all. But I just saw spring coming. And I walked on with a bounce in my step and just contemplated it. And a bit later on the walk, I looked in the woods and went, what did I see? Because I'd picked up the magnifying glass that we'd all been given last weekend about what do you see. I looked again and I saw trees with no leaves on. I saw no colour. I saw brambles that were all tangled and messy. I saw dead bracken. I saw branches that had fallen off trees. I saw trees that had actually been blown over by the wind and were, you know, discarded, dead, whatever. And I just went, what did I see a few minutes ago? And as I was thinking about church and us here, and last weekend, lots of the things that Steve was prophesying about, and he talked about us standing on the edge, we sang about it, he spoke about being on the edge of something new, and I thought, how many of us caught the something new? How many of us saw the rubbish, the mess, the dead, the no colours? And I just want to encourage you, as I felt at that moment, to actually not just see physically, but to raise your eyes to see spiritually and catch a sight of what God wants to do. And there's this fantastic tree that has been knocked down completely, roots up, that I've seen over a long time and gone, oh, it's, you know, it's discarded, it's rubbish, it's at the end of its life. But the other week, Sam and I were walking past it and I suddenly went, whoa, and I wish I'd taken a photograph, because out of this big trunk that was lying on the ground, there were now 20-ish branches growing straight up like that, just coming out of this the side of the trunk. And again, I just went, oh, something I thought was dead, gone, finished, would just become a nice place for the insects to live in, actually was now showing real signs of new life. And I just want to encourage you again, if you think you've fallen over, forgotten, you know, and you're rubbish, you're finished with, actually God says no, wait for those new sprigs of life.
That is really helpful, isn't it? Just to have those two things, prophetic words, really clear. God is speaking to us individually, but also corporately. We're going to pray in a couple of moments, but just want to, one more encouragement. It's actually felt that for a number of us, we need to. It's really important that we take hold of the things that God is speaking to us and do something about them. For some of us as well, God has spoken to us years ago, and there are things that God has spoken in our lives that actually have just sat on the shelf. And often it's quite right to, when God speaks to us, just to weigh and just to let things settle, to pray about it, to invite someone else to help, perhaps pray and think about it together. But there are some people in this room who have had words from God that they know very clearly were from God. And I just get a sense that as God puts his finger in the water and he makes some ripples, that there are some things that God has spoken into our lives that we need to remember and take hold of. Because some of those things God is reminding us of so that he can stir up, build up, cheer up. And just an example of that, Just very, very quickly, and some people asked me about this last weekend, the reason I'm wearing a t-shirt with writing on the front, which isn't what I would normally wear, is because this is one of my prophetic t-shirts. And I can take my jacket off today, because today is a warm day in the Ashwood Centre, isn't it? Everyone, did you notice that? So actually, it's okay just to wear a t-shirt. But during this week, there was a few moments where I had some challenging stuff going on, and I guess like most of us, life happens and we all have a choice as to how we respond. But one of the things that's really important, and I want to encourage you to do it as well, is that those things that God has spoken to us, we make sure that we take hold of them and allow those things, when we're faced with challenges, to be the things that we lean back and we fall back on. Because most of us, when we're faced with something that's tricky or challenging, most of us can have the tendency to do a runner and go far from God. We've sung this morning about how we can't go from God's presence and we can't get away from God. But actually, we have the tendency to do a runner, whereas actually the best thing you can do is run back into the things that God has promised and spoken over our lives. And one of the things that God said to me a number of times, which is why I've got this t-shirt on, is God said to me, be yourself. And when I was quite young, it's probably 20 years ago, I was in meetings like meetings with Steve Hepden last weekend, and someone would just pick me out and they would say, the young man at the back, and you could see it was a while ago because that's why they said it's a young man. And they would say, there's a young man at the back, and God's saying to you, God says, be yourself. And so I said, okay, great, that's great, I'll write that down. It didn't take me long. And then I'd find myself in other times where I'd go to another meeting and a different place, maybe a year or two after, and someone else would stand me up and they would say a number of things, and they'd say, and the last thing God wants you to know is that it's time for you to be yourself. And I say, okay, thank you, God. I hear what you're saying. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to respond to that, and I'll do it. And then I'd go to another meeting and there was people praying for lots of people, and I'd stand up and someone would be praying for me and they'd say, I don't know your name, but I feel that God's saying that one of the things you've got to do is be yourself. And at this point, I'm slightly irritated with God, because I've actually heard this already. So I'm ready for something else. I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for something different. I'm ready for the next word, God. And God's still saying to me, Matt, be yourself. So there's either two things. Well, there's really only one thing, isn't there? I was going to say there's a number of things that could be the case. But there's only really one, and that's obviously that either God is encouraging me by saying the same thing a number of times so that I know that it's definitely from him, or I haven't quite got hold of it yet, that I need to somehow be more myself than I had been myself up until that point. And it's something that God said to me 20 years ago, but even this week I'm reminded because I have a tendency, and I don't do it deliberately, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up and think, oh, today I'm going to be someone else. I know my little niece Maisie, she sometimes wants to be a pirate and things like that, but I've not had the urge to be a pirate recently, and so I'm focusing on myself, on being myself wherever I can. So I saw this t-shirt, and to be honest, I like Batman as well, so if I couldn't be myself, Batman would be the second best option. But in the meantime, being myself is something that God has said that I know I need to do. And I want to encourage some of you who've been around a while to take hold of the things that God has said to you. Maybe some of them are 20 years ago. Maybe you've written down things that go beyond that. And just make sure that you allow those promises to affect your life. Some of us have got some promises which actually give us guidance and guidelines and instructions. And maybe some of those things are the case as well. But often, God is communicating his heart to us, things that will make a difference in our lives. You've come to sit there, Hannah. Is that because you'd like to just say something? Yeah, yeah, sure. You were on my list, but that's great.
Hello. Janet.
This is Hannah, by the way, yeah, everybody. This is Hannah.
Janet came and asked me at the start of the meeting if I wanted to share about something that I feel has been unlocked since Steve was here last weekend. And when she came, I thought, no, I don't feel very well. I don't really want to come to the front. But after listening to Matt say that, like, what we receive is to, like, to share and encourage other people, I decided I'd come, even though I don't feel very well.
That's great. No, it's great.
One of the things Steve said to me was about dreams and visions, and it's not something that I'd really focused on or asked God to give me because I thought it was a bit out there and a bit scary. Yeah. But after he prophesied that and prayed with me, on the Saturday night I had a dream that stayed with me, and then I've had some other ones since then. I can give you an example of one that I think particularly just stands out a lot, the importance of the Holy Spirit in us and acknowledging the Holy Spirit in us. Was I had a dream that there was like a clay, like a white clay bowl, and it was full of blue flames licking around, but it wasn't contained by this bowl. And then this bowl was all of a sudden inside of me in my stomach, and then it went out and it was in other people's stomachs. And just the importance of realizing God's in you and working in you. And I just wanted to share that so people feel encouraged to keep praying for these other gifts that God has, because I wasn't expecting anything else, really. I thought, oh, well, I'll just stay with what I've got. But
yeah, that's great.
God's got a lot more for all of us if we keep praying.
That's absolutely right, Hannah. Well, brilliant. Well, thank you for sharing. We appreciate it. It's brilliant, really good. Okay, so choices. Well, why don't we just, well, let's respond to God then. There's other things that we could say or do. God has been speaking to us this morning in some very clear images, and it's really helpful. One of John's gifts is a prophetic gift, so it's not a surprise that God is revealing stuff to him, and he's shared that brilliantly this morning. Let's take hold of that. And for Janet's picture as well, again, Janet has a prophetic gift, so we've seen that this morning. God is speaking to us, and there may be things that individually God is speaking into your life, but what I hope is that together we see the individual stuff, but also the big picture stuff that God is speaking to us as church. And this is the moment where I encourage you to opt in, because we close our eyes and sometimes we opt out. We say, God, you're speaking to lots of other people, but it's not me. Just allow God, by his Holy Spirit, as Hannah says, by his Holy Spirit, to touch something at the very heart of who you are. Yes, it will touch your mind, but also it will connect with your spirit as well. So God, in these moments, we just respond to what you're saying to us. Open ourselves up to what you're saying in our lives. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for gifts. Thank you for Hannah's courage for coming speaking to us this morning. We're grateful for that. Lord, we thank you for the body that we're part of. Lord, we don't pretend everything is easy or straightforward. There's lots of situations in this room that are complicated and that are painful and require some working through. But Lord, I believe more passionately than ever that you are on our case as your people. I guess you're always on our case, God, but just really powerfully aware that you're calling us to be a help to one another, to strengthen one another, to love one another, love that is patient, that is kind. That endures, that is faithful. And Lord, we thank you for the picture of new life, new birth. We receive that this morning, individually and together as Ashwood Church. Welcome your Holy Spirit into our lives again this morning. Those of us who need a touch from you, we welcome that into our lives. We thank you for gifts of faith across this building, for gifts of miracles. As I was praying this morning, God, I was again reminded that you've called us to be a supernatural church. Lord, we expect therefore to see things that only you can do in our midst. We thank you for the evidence that you speak to us in our lives and things that only you could know. We're grateful for that. And this morning, as we welcome your Holy Spirit, we also welcome those gifts of miracles and healing into our physical bodies. We receive that healing touch right now. Those of us who are struggling in our minds, God, we just pray for breakthrough there too, in Jesus' name. Father, you can't also look at me. Two things very quickly. One is, Dave has just said to me that he felt quite strongly that when I was talking about things being unlocked from words that God has spoken to us before, that actually there are some people this morning that when I said that, you just went, oh, that's me, I know what it is, and I know how, I know I need to respond. Well, Dave's feeling that we should pray with people who say, yeah, that's me this morning, that we just take a moment just to pray with, it may be three or four people, it may be more than that, but just the sense that as we pray, it will unlock something, that we stand together. It's almost like, and again, it's this picture of God stirring the pool and ripples and things taking place. So we'll do that as we close the meeting. The other thing I just get a sense in my spirit is this whole idea of eagerly desiring spiritual gifts. And sometimes in our culture, I'm not sure whether eagerly desiring stuff is, you know, this is necessarily the norm. But that's okay, because in the church, we don't necessarily have the norm anyway. And if you this morning want to join with me and just say, God, we're eagerly desiring. Some people say, well, actually, we want to eagerly desire God. You know, we're not after gifts. But the Bible says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So we're not doing something that's not correct. And if you just say this morning, very quickly at the end of the meeting, yeah, God, here I am. I'm eagerly desiring everything you've got for me. Why don't we just stand together? It might not be everyone, but I just think it would be a good opportunity for us to say, yeah, God, I'm going to eagerly desire all that you've got for me, especially the gift of prophecy. So God, here we are, just as we close our meeting today, we stood in front of you saying, God, we want to eagerly desire, well, everything you've got for us, but we want to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, not so that we look great, not so that we become more impressive than we were before, but so that we can help one another, strengthen one another, stir up, build up, cheer up. Yes. What a great picture of a body of people who stir up, build up, cheer up one another on a daily and a weekly basis. As we meet together in life groups, as we meet together over meal times, as we meet together in other places, spaces, groups. Lord, we want to eagerly desire the gifts that you have for us. And you hear our hearts today, Lord. You hear our response. And Lord, we're grateful that you're stirring the water and there are many ripples in our lives. For those of us this morning who have something that we need to take away with us and act upon, help us to do it, I pray in Jesus' name. To unlock things in the Spirit, to see things come to pass. And Lord, we thank you that we benefit when this happens, but really it's all for your glory. It's all so that your name would be made famous in our day and in our lifetime. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you help us to be super sensitive to the things that you're speaking to us and sensitive to one another. Help us to be appropriate and careful as we speak and love one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our time is done. There's lots more we could say. There's lots more we could pray. If you're one of the people this morning who just said straight away, I know I need to respond and have someone pray with me to unlock something, then why don't you come to the front? We'll pray for you. We'll unlock some things. If there are other things that need to be prayed today, then please do that before you go. Let's take some time to encourage one another. Refreshments. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. We'll look forward to seeing you very soon. God bless you.